Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of opening prayer as we commit our time to the Lord. Let's pray. Our eternal God and our Father, we come to thee this morning in and through our Saviour's precious and most worthy name. And O God, we pray that you'll help us, Lord. You'll aid us in our worship of thee this morning. Just pray, Lord, that you'll draw near. And Lord, may we feel thy presence. May we know that thou art here and that to bless us. So be with us just now. In the Saviour's name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence our service this morning by the words of Psalm 103. Psalm 103, if you have a hymn book there, it's on page 94. The words will also be on the screen. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. We'll stand together as we sing this psalm. We're singing the first 8 verses of this psalm together. Psalm 103. Verses 1 to 8, please. Well, let's come before the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's seek for his help and his presence with us this morning. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy holy presence. And Lord, we come to bless thy name. We come, O God, this morning to praise thee for all of thy gracious benefits toward us. We thank you, Lord, today that we are blessed of God. We thank you, Lord, today that we have known the goodness of God, the mercies of God, Lord, already this day. We thank you, Lord, for health and for strength. We thank you, Lord, for food. We thank you, Lord, for shelter today. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, that is ours to come and to publicly worship thee, Lord, in this manner today. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But Lord, most of all, we thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee, Lord, today for so great a salvation. We thank Thee, Lord, today for ever setting us free from sin. We thank Thee, Lord, for ever sending Thy Son into this world to be our Savior. We thank Thee, Lord, today for each one in this meeting who's saved. We praise Thee, Lord, today that we are the redeemed of God. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we have been redeemed not with corruptible things, but, Lord, with the precious blood. And Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to Thee this morning for that place called Calvary, where there the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life, where there He died that we might live. And Lord, we thank Thee this morning for all of Your benefits toward us. We thank the Lord for each one today that's saved. We thank the Lord that our sins are forgiven. We praise Thee, Lord, today that they have been removed from us so far, even, Lord, as the east is from the west. Lord, that distance which can never be measured. We thank Thee, Lord, today that our sins are cast behind Thy back. Lord, it is a mercy today, it is a wonder that we who were wretched, Lord, we who were defiled by sin, yet, O God, we thank Thee today that we be made anew through Christ Jesus. And our Father, we lift our hearts to Thee for all of Your goodness to us. Lord, we pray that You'll bless our coming together in the house of God this morning. We just pray, Lord, You'll come, presence Thyself with us. Lord, may we know in a very real way, in a very particular way, Lord, that Thou art here and not to bless us. O God, we pray that today, Lord, that we'll hear the voice of the Lord. Lord, even as we would sing Thy praise, Lord, that our hearts might be tuned to sing, Lord, our glories unto Thee, and Lord, to worship our great God. Lord, we pray that You'll bless especially Thy servant, the Reverend Maxwell, as he would come and report to us of the work that he continues to be involved in. Lord, we thank Thee for him. We thank the Lord for the association, O Lord, for the years of service. And Lord, how they have sought to build up the people of God and the work of God. And Lord, we pray that You'll continue to use him. And Lord, bless all who labor with him. Lord, may he know great help this morning as he would come and speak to us, we pray. Lord, we pray that he'll have great liberty here amongst us this morning, we pray. And Lord, that our hearts will be challenged. Lord, that we, Lord, as we would hear, Lord, of the workings of God and see, Lord, how You're looking after Thy people, Lord, in Ukraine and in other places. We pray, Lord, that we might, Lord, have that greater view, Lord, that greater appreciation of all that we have in this land. And so, our Father, we pray that You'll bless us, challenge our hearts. And, O God, we pray that You'll stir us. Our Father, we pray today You'll remember those who cannot gather with us this morning. We ask, O God, that You'll remember those who are unwell. Lord, we pray that You'll touch them in their bodies at this time. We thank the Lord for our brother Sammy being home out of hospital. But, O God, we pray that You'll continue to strengthen him in his body at this time. And may he know, Lord, the Lord be near to him. Lord, we pray today for others who need our prayers. O God, we pray that You'll draw very near to all of Thy dear people who are in any type of need. O God, we pray that You'll touch them and bless them. Remember, Lord, those who are cold of heart. Remember, Lord, those who have wandered. Lord, those who are far from Thee today. O God, we pray that You'll bring them back to Thyself. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this day, as, Lord, they would wander from Thee, Lord, we pray that You'll stop them, bring them to an end of themselves. Bring them to Thyself, O God, we pray. Lord, do a work in all of our hearts. We pray, Lord, You'll bless the boys and girls who've been in the Sunday school, the young people in the Bible class. Bless, Lord, the word that has already gone forth. Bless the word that will go forth later on this afternoon in Hollywood. Bless the children there. Remember, Lord, the gospel as it goes forth tonight. O God, we pray that our hearts this day, Lord, will be affected. And, Lord, that we be changed, even as a result of spending time in the house of the Lord. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us. Keep Your hand upon us today for good. And Lord, remember those of Thy dear people who meet across our land and across our nation. Remember, Lord, those who are serving Thee in far-off places this morning. Remember the persecuted church. O God, encourage Thy saints. Strengthen them in their faith. And Lord, we pray that You'll keep Your protecting hand upon them, we pray. And Lord, defeat, Lord, evil and wicked rulers and governments, we pray. And Lord, may Thy name be honored and glorified across this world. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can I, at this stage, take this opportunity to welcome you all along this morning to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you all in the house of the Lord this morning. And also to those who are watching online as well, we give you that welcome. We are delighted this morning to welcome back to our congregation here in Sandown our brother, the Reverend Derek Maxwell. He's no stranger to us. We've always been blessed and encouraged every time he has come and spoken to us, and we are delighted that he is here this morning. Derek, you're very, very welcome. We pray the Lord will bless you as you come a little time and speak to us. As you will know, I trust by this stage that the Slavic Gospel Association, of which our brother heads up here, is one of the partner organisations that our mission board is working under and working with and supporting financially, particularly with the work in Ukraine. And you can continue, of course, to support that work. And if you do want to do that, even as a result of the meeting today, then do speak to either our brother Derek or perhaps speak to Richard or to William as well. And if you would like to continue to support that, I know many have in recent days. We want to thank you for that. And we will hear a little more about that later on this morning. But can I just remind you of the meetings throughout the rest of the week? In the will of the Lord, we have our Sunday school over in Hollywood in the Redbird Community Centre, 2:30 there this afternoon. We come back here for our gospel service tonight at 6:30, and I trust you'll come and join with us again for our gospel meeting, preceded by the half hour of prayer, and I encourage God's people to come if you can for that a little bit earlier for that season of prayer. I'll be speaking this evening, and Keith and Karen Lindsay will be here to sing in the will of the Lord. Then Tuesday night is our Bible study and prayer meeting, and we continue in our Bible study course on Tuesday evening. And this Tuesday night, God willing, we're looking at the subject of the witness of the godly. Then that brings us to next weekend, God willing, and it's a special weekend, of course, in our nation. We're marking that weekend as well, the Jubilee, Platinum Jubilee weekend, to mark the 70-year reign of our Queen. And we're having our church family barbecue next Saturday, 3:30, over in Croppardsburn at the Scout Centre there in Croppardsburn Country Park. So this is your last opportunity to get your names down. If you haven't got your name down, please do that today. We need to know final numbers for catering. And so please get your name to John or say to some of the men on the way out. If you haven't as yet done that, please do that. And as we've said in past weeks, this is open to everybody. It's free for all. And it's open to all. If you'd like to bring other family members or friends or neighbours, you're more than welcome to do so. While it is a family day and a church day, yet we do want it also to be seen as a time of outreach, because there'll be a time of fellowship afterwards and a word of testimony. Our brother Brian Galt will be along to testify as well at that church family day this coming Saturday. So it all kicks off around about 3:00 or 3:30, so we want you to come. And don't be coming now at 6:00 because you'll have missed all the fun and games. And we want to see you all taking part in all the activities that are planned. So come for 3:30 if you can, and then we'll be eating towards 5:30, and then the time of fellowship after that as well. So just a little bit of help is needed in relation to the food preparation. If you can help with that, if you could mention that to Rachel, please, that would certainly be appreciated. Of course, our sister Irene, the barbecue queen herself, is looking after the barbecue. And but others, if you could help with other things as well, that would be appreciated, please. Just some things in relation to that. If you could perhaps maybe bring a chair with you, that might help. I think there are chairs there. I haven't got a chance to get up to the gate, but I think there are chairs there. But maybe just bring a chair, one of those big picnic chairs or loungers, sun loungers, because we're expecting a great day as far as the weather is concerned. You pray for that anyway. So do that, please. But do come prepared for the Ulster summer. Now, if we had a day like yesterday, we'll not be complaining. I see there's some red faces. People have got a bit of sunburn who were out walking the streets of East Belfast yesterday. And sore feet as well, Billy. That's right. Yeah. You got a red face too. And sore feet. Well, hopefully you'll not get sore feet next Saturday. You'll not have to walk too far. But hopefully you'll get a red face as well. But we hope the weather will be good. But just in case it's not, come prepared. As we've said, you've been up there before. It's all outside, although there is the shelter over there as well. But you might just want to get a good warm coat on you and maybe a wee rug for your legs as well, if you're so inclined. So come prepared for that as well. And while everything is free, yet our brother Brian Galt, who is coming to testify, he is bringing a little stand with him to sell some things that he does to support missionary work that he is involved in. And also there'll be copies of his book, Say No Hands. They'll be available as well next Saturday as well. So you might just want to bring a few pennies with you for that wee stall. But everything else will be free. So do remember that. That's this Saturday, starting off at 3:30. And we look to the Lord for a special day. And then next Sunday, we continue with our Jubilee celebrations. We are marking the Queen's Platinum Jubilee next Lord's Day. Both of the services next Sunday morning. We're going to be speaking on the subject of the Queen's favourite hymn. And then we're having a special Jubilee Gospel service, 6:30 next Sunday evening. Our sister Gillian will be testifying, and she'll be telling us of how the Lord saved her and what the Lord's been doing for her. And then also our sister Judith Beattie will be here to sing. And we're going to look next Sunday night at the subject of the royal throne. So these are opportunities for you to invite other people in, not only to the barbecue on Saturday, but also to our church services next Sunday. And the Sunday schools will be on as well. And do remember the seasons of prayer. I also, next Sunday, given it is the Platinum Jubilee weekend, as a church, we will be giving all of our children and our young people a specially presented Bible, Jubilee Bible, that has been commissioned by the Trinitarian Bible Society to mark the Queen's 70-year reign. Now, it is a small Bible, a child's Bible, and all of their children and young people will get one. But we will also be giving one to all of our families. To every family, you will also get a copy of this Bible. Now, it is a small Bible. It's a lovely, lovely wee Bible, purple Bible with the logo on the front of it. But it is small. And so for those of a certain age, you might need a wee magnifying glass to read it. But it will be a souvenir for you. And so one will be presented to every family next Sunday as well. Just a few other matters. Can I again thank Colin and Hazel for organising a very good day out on Wednesday past for the seniors' outing. We had a great day and the Lord was good to us. They organised a tremendous day, lots of things packed in to that day, and everybody thoroughly enjoyed it. And so to Colin and to Hazel again, thank you for all your time and effort and your labours. It certainly all paid off. And they even organised the weather down to a T. It rained while we were on the bus, and as soon as we got off the bus and the sun came out, as soon as we got back onto the bus again, it started to rain. And so it couldn't have worked out any better. But we had a good day, and I know everybody that was on the trip enjoyed it. Do continue to remember those who need our prayers. Your brother Sammy Lewis is home from hospital, but do remember Sammy in your prayers, please. The Lord will continue to strengthen him. Do remember Shirley's mum as well, Mrs. Kennedy, who's in hospital as well at this time. Please remember Mrs. Kennedy very much in your prayers as well. The offering boxes are available there as you leave for your tithes and your offerings. We're going to sing another hymn just at this stage. Hymn number 7, To God Be the Glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Hymn number 7, the words will be on the wall. We'll stand together as we sing this hymn, please.
Thank you.
we've said, we are delighted this morning to have with us the Reverend Derek Maxwell, representing the Slavic Gospel Association. Glad to have him this morning. We welcome him warmly. Pray the Lord will bless him as he comes now and speaks to us. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you very much. It's a great joy for me to be with you today, and thank you for the opportunity to be here to the Reverend Wilson. We trust that the Lord will minister to our hearts today as we've come to the house of God. We need the Lord to come and help us and strengthen us that we might share what's on our hearts for this service, and we trust it will be a blessing to you. Indeed, we're so grateful to you as a denomination for the funds that have come in for Ukraine from your many churches, and we pray God's blessing on that giving as we seek under God's guidance to distribute those funds, that those funds might go to where they're needed and to the right place at this time. And so pray for us. It's a huge responsibility on our shoulders, and we want to fulfill God's will and know God's leading as we seek to do that. Partners in mission, as we seek to serve the Lord, and as a mission we seek to reach out into the countries of Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and also into Far East Russia. We thank God for the opportunities of serving the Lord in these former communist countries through our four core ministries. Everything that we seek to do is based on these ministries as we go forward with the Lord. Training workers is our Bible school ministry. Publishing literature is having good, sound theological material translated and published in the different languages. Supporting leaders is where we are helping many church leaders and those who are planting churches, and distributing aid is very much focused, of course, in Ukraine at this time. Let's look first of all at training workers as we seek to be involved in this great ministry. We thank God for new students that have come forward this year. We had a new group of students who commenced in the Republic of Moldova, 26 of them, 24 men, 2 ladies. It was a joy to welcome them there in January to the school. While we were there in Moldova, my other colleague, Mark Foster, was in Poland welcoming the new group of students, 34 students, there in the south of Poland. And so we thank God for new students across the different countries where we serve. Also, we're grateful for new teachers. And the Lord has been doing something wonderful for us. We long that national church leaders would be involved in teaching and training their own people. But while we were traveling, they were never prepared to step up to the mark. But you know what happened just over 2 years ago? I don't need to remind you. And the result of the pandemic was that we could no longer travel and teach in our schools. And so the church leaders began to be involved in this great ministry. This is our model now as we go forward. 50% teaching from the national church leaders and 50% teaching from those from the United Kingdom and Ireland. We believe that this is a really good way to move forward as we seek to open new schools as well. And so we're going to do that, God willing, in the autumn. One new school will be opening in Romania, while another one will be opening in the north of Serbia amongst Hungarian-speaking people. God willing, I will be there to launch that school. We thank God for our teaching ministry. There's a great need for laborers. We're praying the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, and we seek to train them in their own country and provide for them as they reach their nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ and fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ in these days. Coming to the second core ministry that I mentioned, and that is publishing literature. And a huge project right now is Bibles for the Nations. As we think of this project, you will see on the screen that there are two Bibles. There's the adult Bible and also the children's Bible. We're seeking to reach families in Central Asia, and through reaching families, we believe we'll reach nations with the Word of God. The family is a very strong and precious unit in Central Asia, and we're grateful for that. And so by reaching Muslim families, Orthodox families, and other backgrounds, we'll be able to reach the nations with God's Word. And so we're seeking to do that right across the Central Asian countries. Countries like Kazakhstan, the large country in green, below it Kyrgyzstan, and then Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan. Already the Lord has helped us with providing God's Word in 3 of the major languages of Central Asia. That is Kazakh, Uzbek, and Tajik.
And already those Bibles have arrived in those countries and are being distributed, and we're so grateful for that. Just about 2 months ago, this picture was sent to me, and you can see that Bibles have been loaded into a truck. These Bibles were printed in a country far away from Tajikistan and Kazakhstan and Central Asia. They had a long journey to travel, but we thank God that the consignment of Bibles have arrived safely in Central Asia, and now they're being distributed to families in the Uzbek, Kazakh and Tajik languages. And we're grateful for that as we serve with Bible Mission or Bible Mission in Germany. But our current Bible project is in the Russian Bible, and we are seeking with Bible Mission in Germany to have God's Word printed in the Russian language. You might ask the question, well, why not continue with all the languages in Central Asia? Why have the Bible in the Russian language? The challenge for us is that there are over 35 people groups in Central Asia, and so it's almost impossible to have God's Word translated and printed and published in all of the languages. But Russian is a common language in Central Asia. It's a little bit like Spanish in South America. Now, of course, it would be much better to have it in the mother tongue, and that would be the best. But my friends, time is short. The doors are closing in Central Asia. And if we want to get Bibles to families and reach nations, then we believe by publishing the Bible in the Russian language will help us to reach more families with the Word of God. And so this is our current Bible project in the Russian language. Just about 2.5 weeks ago, this wonderful picture arrived on my computer screen. And here you can see that the Russian Bibles have already been printed, and they're sitting here on pallets, and they were being stored in a country that's involved in the war in Ukraine. And they will be moving from there and be distributed into Central Asia. We thank God for the precious Word of God. It's so good, isn't it, friends, to have God's Word in our hands today. I trust we cherish the Word of God. When we think of peoples who do not have the Bible in their language, and so with God's help, we're seeking to provide the Bible for families in Central Asia. Please pray for this project as we seek to move forward with God's help and the opportunity God has given to us. The third core ministry that I mentioned to you is providing for church leaders. 2 years ago was a special anniversary for SGA. I know it'll be 2020, it'll be remembered for other reasons for the pandemic, but for us in the mission, we give thanks to God for 70 years of God's provision and God's help given to us. To mark this special milestone, we felt led by God to launch a special Project 70. That was that God would send 70 missionary families and SGA would support them as they would reach their nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so with God's help, God did a wonderful work, and we thank the Lord for it. Because I'm not going to tell you that God sent 70, but God sent 80 missionary families, and we praise the Lord for this. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the one who sends the reapers. And God has been doing that, and we rejoice in it. This project really developed in 3 areas. It developed in Far East Russia. Today we're supporting 12 missionary families and also helping to support the aviation program where the 2 little missionary planes are flying our missionaries to isolated areas. It also developed in Central Asia where now we're supporting 30 missionary families, but also one country in Eastern Europe where this project really developed, and that is Ukraine. So with the missionaries we're already supporting plus the Project 70 missionaries, SGA UK are now supporting 35 missionary families in Ukraine. In total, we're supporting around 200 missionary families across different countries. Of course, Ukraine has been on our news so much, and sadly for the wrong reasons. A country with a population of 44 million, 73% will consider themselves Orthodox, but the evangelical church in Ukraine has been a growing and expanding church. God has been doing wonderful things since the demise of communism, right up to the present age. Denomination that we serve with had 900 churches by the year 2000, but now they have around 3,000 churches. So God has been pouring out a spirit and blessing this nation. Not only has the church been expanding in Ukraine, but they're a sending church where they've been sending missionaries all over the world. In the SGA-sponsored Odessa Theological Seminary, there is the mission faculty, and in the mission faculty there's the cross-cultural course where they've been training Ukrainians to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in the country, as a mission, we're also supporting Ukrainian missionaries and church planters. I just want to mention one to you this morning as we share with you, and his name is Ivan. And here is his wife, who is expecting their fifth child, over to the left of the picture. They have four children, and his parents are also in the picture. He's serving the Lord and seeking to go forward with God in Mykolaiv. This is a region where the Russian military are coming forward and seeking to take this region. It came to the place where Ivan had to make a decision to move his family to a safer place. And so he took his family from Mykolaiv and he brought them to Germany, that his wife might give birth to their fifth child, but he didn't wait for the birth. He turned and headed back to Ukraine to serve God. He's a man who loves God, he loves the gospel, and he wants to reach his people in this day. Pastor Igor Bandura, whom we served with for many years, he said a few days before the war began, he said, if Russia should invade our country, the greatest need will be the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ivan is one of those who are preaching with our other missionaries and serving God. When he came back, of course, his little congregation had to relocate, and they're in different parts for to be safe. But Ivan has another ministry that God has given to him. Every day he visits 15 checkpoints with hot drinks, chocolate, with the Word of God and the Gospel. As he seeks to share the Gospel with Ukrainian military, these men are on the front line. As it were, they're on death row, they need to hear the Gospel, and Ivan is seeking to reach them as God has given him many opportunities as he seeks to visit 15 checkpoints every day. Pray for our missionaries who are faithfully serving God. God is doing amazing things in Ukraine at this time. We know there's disruption, there's devastation, there's death all across this country, and especially in the Donbass region and in other occupied territories of Kharkov. We think of Kyiv, we think of Irpin and Bucha, these areas where the Russian military have now withdrawn from. But yet God is working. And one brother, this is simply how he put it, and from the Donbass region and the front line of the war, for their Easter, which is the Orthodox calendar that they follow, their Easter was later than ours. He said, this is the best Easter of my life. There's so many people coming to church that there's not enough room for them. You know, I was up in the Isle of Lewis a few weeks ago, the western Isle of Scotland, and somebody came to me and they said, brother, when the cupboards are empty, the churches are full. When the cupboards are full, quite often the churches are empty. The cupboards are empty in Ukraine, but the churches are full. Many, many unconverted are coming to hear the Word of God, and many are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. What is SGA doing in Ukraine at this time? We're seeking to provide for refugees in bordering countries, distributing aid to displaced people in Ukraine, reach besieged cities with vital supplies, and cross-connect Ukraine is our linking scheme, where we're linking Ukrainian families to families in the UK who want to host a family for at least 6 months. There's more information on our website about that. Providing for refugees in bordering countries, and of course, over 5 million refugees came into countries like Moldova, Romania, Slovakia, Hungary, and Poland. We have our faithful servants on the ground in all these countries, and they're seeking to reach out as we finance them. 2.8 million moved into Poland, although over 1 million Ukrainians have moved back from Poland back into their home country. But our people are seeking to serve refugees. We think of, here is one, Daniel with the glasses, who's a church planter in Poland, and Igor beside him is originally from Ukraine, who's serving in Daniel's church. Nikolai is a driver. These men are doing a wonderful ministry. They have refugees in the attic of the church, in the basement of the church, in the homes around the church. But also Igor is both buying food from money from SGA and other sources, and putting the food into large trucks, and the food is going into Ukraine, right over to the Donbass region, into Kharkov and other areas where there is no food, no electricity, there's no gas, there is nothing for the people. And so as a mission, we're so grateful that we can help in this practical way in providing food for people that they might be able to survive at this time. Back into Ukraine, this building has been used for printing gospel literature for many, many years in the city of Lus in the west of the country. Right now, two things are happening. Volunteers are coming to pack food boxes, but in the other end of the factory, the printers are running off New Testaments and gospel literature, and they're being put into the food parcels, and those food parcels are being distributed right across Ukraine. And so, as a mission in our crisis response, it has always been two-pronged, taking care for the body, but taking care for the soul. My friends, we cannot forget the souls of men. The part of the individual that will never die must be ministered to through our crisis response ministry. And so through this type of ministry, we're seeking to reach the body and the soul of individuals as we provide funds for this project. Also, our medical teams that we support in the south end of Ukraine and into Moldova are now preparing, and in fact probably have gone, to cities like Kharkov, to Bucha, to Irpin, to help civilians with medical supplies. This is medical evangelism ministry. They'll be seeking to evangelize the people that they're providing medical help to as well. And then finally, two projects that we just committed ourselves to quite recently, and that is supporting another 120 missionary pastors for at least 3 months. We want to keep God's servants in the country. Ukraine needs gospel workers, and we want to provide for them so they can be sustained and continue their service for God in the midst of the war in Ukraine. And then also with Bible Mission in Germany, we're seeking to provide for 100,000 Bible sets in the Ukrainian language. People are hungry for the Word of God in Ukraine. Our people on the ground who experienced this right after the demise of communism, and of course there was a real move of God in the 90s across all those former communist countries. But they have witnessed to us, and they have said what they're seeing today is far beyond what happened after the demise of communism. People are reaching for the Word of God. People need reality. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so we seek to support our faithful servants as they serve the Lord at this time. You can follow us on the website, get updates practically daily as we seek to share what God is doing. Also, please take the literature with you as you leave this morning. Frontlines is focusing on Ukraine and this issue. There are copies in the vestibule there as you leave. Also for Central Asia and the Bibles, and as we seek to serve God in that part of the world, there are other leaflets there as well. I just want to highlight this little prayer booklet, Praying for SGA, 31 days. And my friends, if you pray this little booklet through every month of the year, that will be wonderful. Please take a copy with you this morning. Remember us. We need people to hold the ropes in prayer as we seek to go forward in these days. Our founder, Peter Daneke, I'm sure you've read his little motto, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And my friends, we need heaven's power in these days. And it comes when God's people pray. So please join with us in praying. Tomorrow evening, we'll be having a Zoom update, a prayer meeting. If you'd like to join us, of course you can. You'll need to get the link. You can speak to me about that after the service this morning. Pastor Igor Bandura from Ukraine will be sharing with us about the situation in this country as we want to be better informed and as we seek to pray for that land at this time. Please pray for our missionaries. Pray that God will continue to pour out His Spirit in Ukraine. And that many, many people, my friends, it's our heart's desire that the country of Ukraine might be the shining light of the gospel in this dark continent of Europe. Let's trust God for it. But while we pray for Ukraine, let's pray for Russia. Let's pray for the believers in that country and pray that God will sustain them and help them through these very challenging, difficult times. Let's trust God together, friends. Our God is still on the throne. Let's read together from Isaiah chapter 6. And the prophet Isaiah realized this great truth and reality in a day when it was so difficult in his nation turning together to Isaiah chapter 6 and commencing to read from verse 1, please. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Amen. And we pray God's blessing upon the reading of his inspired word this morning. The question comes to us today, how big is your God? How well do we know our God? How much are we like him? How ready are we to serve him? Whenever we come to the end of ourselves through circumstances and severe pain and fear about the future, we begin to think about the brevity of life, and that is so true for the people of Ukraine at this time. I think it was John Carson who said, pain, disappointment, uncertainty serve to make us bitter or to make us better. Here as we come to Isaiah chapter 6, we find that the prophet Isaiah was experiencing a great vision from God. At this time, 2 things were happening. It was a time of prosperity. The wise administrator Uzziah the king had conquered the surrounding nations. He built a port city. He had championed agriculture, increased the nation's water supply and digging wells, and developed the water courses. And the nation was in a state of prosperity at this time. And we're reminded of that as we turn back to chapter 2 and verse 7. The word of God tells us, Their land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. There was prosperity in the nation at that time. And yet, isn't it interesting, when we turn to chapter 3 and verse 4, we read the captain of 50 and the honorable men and the counselors and the cunning... Verse 4. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The rulers will be incompetent people. There will not be statesmen. There won't be a statesman among them to lead the nation. There will be prosperity, but there won't be strong leadership. There won't be a statesman to lead the nation. Isn't that familiar in Western society in the day that we live in? Not only was there a time of prosperity, but it was a time of uncertainty. The word of God tells us here that in the year that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah had been on the throne for 52 years. He was a strong king. That's underlined for us in 2 Chronicles. Young Jotham was 25 years of age. He was going to be the successor to King Uzziah. And of course, nobody knew how he would deal with the nation or how he'd carry out his duties. And so King Uzziah had been on the throne for 52 years. And the word of God says, in the year that King Uzziah died. It was a time of uncertainty. It was a time of prosperity. But Isaiah the prophet went to the house of the Lord because he was unsure about the future. And so God came to him in a very, very special way. And here we find that God revealed himself to the prophet Isaiah. Yes, the earthly throne was empty, but Isaiah realized that day that heaven's throne was still occupied, for God was still reigning. And so God revealed himself in a tremendous way. Yes, in a day of prosperity and in a day of uncertainty, God came to his servant Isaiah and revealed himself to him. And on that day, Isaiah saw God. You know, friends, today we live in very difficult times. We live in times when wrong is right and right is wrong. And in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, we read, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." My friends, that's postmodernism. That's the day and age that we're living in. Wrong is right and right is wrong today in society. But in the midst of all that was happening, and the nation did experience prosperity, but Isaiah the prophet realized that they needed God. And he saw God. There was the upward look. He saw the Lord. He saw the person of God. Because in verse 3 we read, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." I know that some people will use that verse to support the Trinity, and I'm not here to deny that today. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, holy, holy, holy. But my friends, when we want to emphasize something, what do? We repeat it. And I believe that God is emphasizing His person here. I am holy, holy, holy. And friends, I believe that this is a truth and a reality that we need to grasp again in these days. What did the prophet say about God? He's high and lofty one. He's the one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. Isaiah the prophet, he saw the person of God. God is holy. But friends, not only did he see the person of God, he saw the power of God. Because this vision, it was a vision of grandeur. It was a vision of greatness. Isaiah the prophet had to lift his eyes. The word of God tells us that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his train or his robes, they filled the temple. It was a vision of greatness. The glory of God's power. His robes were filling the temple. You can imagine the grandeur which Isaiah was seeing on that day. Isaiah saw heaven's throne in the year that King Uzziah died. On earth the throne was empty, but heaven's throne was occupied. My friends, so often we used to sing that lovely chorus, "God is still on the throne." And friends, He is. He's still on the throne. And He will remember His own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne. And my friends, He's a God of power today. When we think of Him as the eternal God from eternity past, my friends, He is God. He will be God. He always will be God. He's the omnipresent God. The psalmist reminds us of that in Psalm 139, that great truth. Little girl was in school and her atheist teacher said to her one day, she said to the little girl, "I'll give you an apple if you tell me where God is." Little girl turned to the teacher. She said, "Miss, I'll give you two apples if you tell me where God is not." My friends, we have an omnipresent God. We have an omnipotent God. We have a powerful God. We have an infinite God. We have a God who will never change. There's the immutability of God. We find there in Malachi and in chapter 3 and verse 6, "I am the Lord. I change not." My friends, this is our God forever and forever. Today the world may be against us, but God is with us. And God is on the throne. And for Isaiah the prophet, in that day of prosperity, but day of uncertain day, he saw God. He saw Him in His person. He saw Him in His power. He saw Him in His purpose. What does verse 3 say? That the whole earth might be filled with His glory. Not only did Isaiah see God, but Isaiah saw himself. Because in verse 5 we read, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, for a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, friends, there was the upward look, he saw God, but there was the inward look, he saw himself. A true vision of God and His holiness always makes us realize our sinfulness and our failures. It'll never make us proud. And here for the prophet Isaiah, he sees himself. He sees his great need. He's a man of unclean lips. He's dwelling in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But Isaiah wants cleansing, and we see there in verse 6 and 7 how God comes to him and brings that wonderful cleansing. Isn't it wonderful, my friends, this morning? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing us. What a wonderful God we have. But Isaiah saw himself and his own sinfulness before the Lord. But then we find, thirdly, there was the outward look. He saw man. He saw the need. And we see here in verse 8, the word of God says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me." Everything to this point was preparation. But now God can call Isaiah. God can use him. The prophet's no longer wrapped up in his own needs. He wants to do the will of God. He's no longer burdened by sin. He has been cleansed. He's no longer discouraged. He knows that God is on the throne. And here the prophet Isaiah is saying, "Lord, I surrender all. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to serve you. Here am I. Send me." God was sending Isaiah to the whole mission field. God said, "Go and tell this people." God said, "The people aren't going to listen. But you must go and tell them." And that's the priority. And my friends, until Jesus comes again, this is God's priority for His church. Go and tell them. And I believe, friends, today the most difficult mission field is the whole mission field. To reach your family. To reach your neighbors. To reach those that you'll work with tomorrow. To reach those that you'll meet in the store tomorrow. My friends, those are the most difficult. That is the most difficult mission field. I feel that personally. And yet, my friends, God says to us today, go and tell them. Isaiah was to go to a people who would not listen to the message that God gave him to deliver to them. And friends, it's so true for us in the day and age that we live in. There's so much hostility. It's actually hostility now to the gospel that we're finding. And yet, my friends, for the people of God, our responsibility is to go and tell them. And you might say to me today, "But what can I really do? How many can I really touch for God? I'm not really make a huge impact on the situation." The story is told of a little boy who was out on the beach one very hot summer's morning. The elderly gentleman was walking his dog, and he watched the young boy as he was picking up some starfish and throwing them into the water. Elderly gentleman, as he watched the young boy, he thought, "You know, this is a waste of time." And he approached the young boy and he said, "I've been watching you." And he said, "Look, there are literally thousands and thousands of starfish that are dying on this beach. You're really making no impact on the situation. You should go home." The young boy picked up a starfish and he showed it to the elderly gentleman, and then he threw it into the water and he said, "Sir, it'll make a difference to that one." Dear friends, this morning, if God should use our lives to be instrumental in one soul coming to Jesus Christ, it will make a difference to that one. What does the Word of God tell us? It tells us that what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? One soul is worth more than this entire world. One soul. May God help us to reach the lost. May we be in a place this morning where we'll say, "Here am I. Send me." Paul, writing to the church at Rome in chapter 12, verse 1. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I have the words of Jim Elliot in my study. That young man whose life was taken at the age of 28, he went from the very people that he went to bring the gospel to. Jim Elliot said, "He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." My friends, may we give everything to Jesus. May we surrender our lives afresh to Him today. May we be prepared to say, here am I. Send me. For the prophet Isaiah, God had touched him, and when Isaiah walked out of the temple that day, he was no longer a mourner. He was a missionary. He saw God. He saw himself. And he saw the need around him. And he said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Friends, we rejoice today that God's on the throne. Our God reigns. Whatever governments, whatever princes, prime ministers, or presidents may do, God is still on the throne. Let's grasp it. Let's believe it. Let's go out into a world, friends, believing that our God reigns. And as we're in the presence of God, maybe there needs to be that cleansing in our hearts today. Then we'll be brought to that place where we'll see man and we'll see the great need. And we'll say today, here am I. Send me. I have a big birthday coming up in a few days. And I'll not tell you what it is, for you wouldn't believe it when you look at me. So there's no point in telling you. But you know, friends, there's one thing for sure. This one life of mine is passing so quickly. And we can live for the material, we can live for the temple, we can live for what this world offers. But the Lord said, lay up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves cannot break through nor steal. It's only what I do for God is going to last. When I stand before the Lord, when earth and seas are fled, I'm sure like you, dear friends, this morning, I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm only going to hear it if I said, Lord, here am I. Send me. May we live this one life for God's glory. May we serve Him well. God is with us. And we go forward with a message of power this morning, my friends. It's the gospel. Our friends in Ukraine and Ivan, who returned to that country to preach this message. Why did he do it? Because he believes there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We reach the world with the gospel, friends. It's God's saving to the uttermost. May the Lord help us in our nation. May God come to all of us, minister to us as He sees our needs. But thank God we can reach out and touch the Lord this morning as He goes by. Whatever your need is, God is here. And that to bless us. Reach out. Give your life to Jesus. Serve Him. Live for Him. One day hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May God richly bless you all as you seek to serve Him right here in East Belfast and wherever God has placed us. Thank you. May God bless His word. Please pray for us. Pray for Ukraine. Trust God for great things. Amen.